Welcome to the Lost Library, Seeker. Enjoy your stay.
Joe, I am your GM here on Fifth Watch. You can follow me on Twitter at TheJoeHadfield, and you can check out my podcast, WTF Anime.
My name is Alan Sells, and I play Jace McGuire, God Ranger Blue Athena. You can find me at Alan_Sells on Twitter.
I'm Eli, I play Kronos, and you can find me on Twitter at TheVikingBear__. And be sure to check out my other shows, Hoof and Sword and SHU Podcast.
I'm Melissa Wilkinson. I play Mitch Carver, and you can find me on Twitter at WilkieWit.
Hello, my name is Raphael Johns. I'm playing Gwen Smith, Godsent in this, and you can find me as like Twitter at Eldritch Roth. Other than that, there's a Tumblr that I'm going to set up that you can follow. I haven't decided on the URL yet. I'm very beautiful. Thank you.
So we open in one of Halcyon City's courthouses. Take a quick span around, looking at the jury, the judge, and the camera settles on the defense lawyer's table, and sitting there is Jace. Describe your fancy lawyer getup.
So Jace is wearing a beautiful cobalt blue suit. It's not like a special fabric, it's just a very pretty true blue, but it's kind of deep. His shirt is white, which just kind of pops, and his ascot is actually tied as a tie, but he is wearing a pen on his lapel that is basically the Omega and the Alpha symbols kind of interposed. It's very subtle, but it is only a pen that can be given or worn by God Rangers.
Awesome. Got to get that selective branding in. So, I have a question for you. In the last episode, you learned that the jury may be infected. So I'm curious if you let that happen or whether this trial is happening like a few days late for them to get a new jury that hopefully isn't infected.
Oh, it's 100% a few days late. As soon as I found that out, I went to the judge and I brought in the prosecution. And was like, hey, I have this information. I provided them the documentation that I had. This is what's going on. I call for a retrial or a reselection of the jury. And I don't think it was a hard sell based on the evidence and the fact that Jace has the God Rangers on his back being like, no, we stand for truth and justice, and we will not let justice not happen.
Awesome. So I knew that was the route you were going to take. It just means some things might get interesting, so.
Yep, absolutely.
So, court is brought to session, and two guards lead in Aiden. So Aiden is basically wearing a kind of traditional, like, grey prison jumpsuit. You can see, like, immediately he is tired, he has bags under his eyes, where his sides and face have been shaven. Obviously, that has been growing in, and there's kind of that awful, like, patchy teenager goatee. Mm-hmm.
Oh, sweet boy, you're trying.
And he is on crutches. The left leg of his jumpsuit is tied, supporting where his leg is not. He's also wearing two very interesting pieces of technology. There is a white plastic collar with a blue light in the center, and on his temple is, it's an oval shape that has extra arms like spread out to attach to places on his head. Jace, with you being in the know, being like,
yeah,
the most prepared and most superhero-y person.
They're power dampeners, yeah?
Yes, this is some very, very new technology from Salpharon. Something that Cetridel has been involved with. This to you is like one of the first times you've seen it used on a person. You've seen specs and stuff. Like, this might just be the trial run.
Right. Remind me, Alan, when did he lose his leg? Or is that something Jace didn't... Because I don't remember that.
Yeah, Jace would not know, because the only, like, idea you would have got that it had happened, Jace has forgotten because it happened in a different timeline.
So when Jace sees him come in sans leg, his eyebrows go up, but that's about the only reaction he allows himself?
Mm-hmm.
He does stand. He doesn't move to help because, A, he doesn't want to hurt Aiden's pride and make him look infantilized or anything like that. But also, B, it's not protocol. So Jace stands there patiently, giving off an aura of empathy. And, you know, he smiles at Aiden, and it's a genuine warm smile, even though he's probably not going to get it returned. But he's trying to exude confidence and empathy to Aiden without saying anything.
I guess, surprisingly, you get like a sad, almost like flinching into a smile. The guards like escort him to the defense table.
Mm-hmm. I do help him sit down.
He gives you like this look of, this sucks, but this is a thing that has happened a lot. So it's like,
well, yeah, and by that I mean, like, he can sit down on his own, but I'll take the crutch so he doesn't have to worry about it. I'm not trying to baby him,
mm-hmm.
but I'm also trying to make him comfortable.
And lets out a sigh and says, all right, Gov, how's life on the outside?
I think better than life on the inside. What happened? Is everything okay?
Oh, that? Nah, that's not from here. But I'll be honest, my time inside has changed me. I don't know if I can go back out there.
Jay smiles. Well, I hope you can. Your friends miss you a lot. They told me to send their love.
It's not really your job, but have you been keeping an eye on Iris for me?
Yes, absolutely. Sky too.
She's not the kind that needs it.
Oh no, absolutely not. But they both are worried about you and told me to tell you that they love you and that they hope this goes smoothly.
Yeah, I hope it does too. And he kind of like leans in. No one's really like listening to this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I might try something weird just to let you know how much I'm actually invested in you doing this. I think it's worth telling you. And he kind of sits back up, and in your head, you hear, so, does this work?
He thinks back at wherever that felt like it came from. Yes, it did.
Shouldn't though, should it?
No, it shouldn't.
Sky at a butcher's at these, and they only work on biologically changed people. Maybe someone who's magical, divine. Maybe it don't work on that much.
Well, that's good to know. Can you read others' minds?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that will make this very interesting. I do not recommend reading the minds of the jury. I don't think that will give you any information that will be helpful, and I think it might hurt.
That's fair. I don't really make a point of reading random people's minds, just to get that out of the way.
Oh, I'm absolutely not saying you do.
Cool. And also, this isn't the only power I have access to.
Oh. Be careful. If they get a whisper that you still have power, I would be horrified to see what they do.
Yeah, they do something, but if it really got that bad, I could just leave.
But then you would be on the run. And the whole goal of this is to let you be free.
Yeah, that's why I haven't escaped yet.
He smiles. I know. But let's do this a clean way.
Well then, by your lead, Mr. Attorney. Or whatever it is they call you.
So, from under the table, Jace pulls out a briefcase. It is obviously old. It's probably something he inherited from his dad. And it's actually, you know how sometimes they have like embossed initials? It actually has his dad's initials embossed on it, MM, but they're kind of overlapped in a way. That's kind of cool. And he clicks it open and he opens it up, and inside is the case file for Aiden, as well as copious notes that are very organized and color-coded that Jace takes out and kind of puts on the table, puts the briefcase back under the table, and places things very specifically. He then pours himself and Aiden a glass of water, because they always have, like, the pitchers of water and whatever.
Yeah. Aiden starts to like slump, and you can tell like he's about to put his leg on the table, and then thinks better of it and sits a bit straight. You know, he's still going to be a teen about this.
Also, because there weren't any on the table, out of the briefcase, Jace pulls two coasters. And he places the drinks on coasters.
So, for the audience, the way we're going to do this is Alan's going to read a prepared speech. Yep, he prepared a speech.
I had to prepare an opening statement.
Yep. And then we're just going to do a roll, because I really don't want to have to deal with courtroom stuff. So, Alan, if you would.
So, when it comes time for the defense's opening statement, Jay stands up. He goes to pick up his notes, stops himself, and puts them back down. And when he looks up, he starts to speak. And it's that kind of speech that you can tell comes from the heart, that this is very meaningful. Sing through me, goddess, the truth of the matter, the ancient arts of word and song, of the righteous anger of the man Aiden, he gestures to Aiden, and his virtuous path beset by briars. Give us your eyes, Pallas Athena, to see the wisdom of truth and justice. Lay bare the lies and misgivings that may hang round Aiden's shoulders like a shroud of night, and pierce the darkness with the light of truth. You, who burst from the head of Zeus, fully formed, a warrior for justice, lead us to understand the truth of Aiden's deeds, be they virtuous or misguided. Grant us your blessed wisdom, that Alethea may truly prevail. Ladies, gentlemen, and honorable persons across the gender spectrum, my name is Jace McGuire, honored to be the blessed bearer of the mantle of God Ranger Blue, Athena, and it is also my honor to be here in my capacity as Athena's vessel to serve as the defense for Aiden Ballard. I have communed with my goddess, and I stand before you in full confidence and faith in the defense of Aiden. While it is without doubt that Aiden has performed crimes in the pursuit of his path, today I hope to show you that those actions, while not entirely justified, were performed for the goal of rescuing children from a deranged scientist who is performing unspeakable experiments on them, violating the Geneva Convention, and actively committing crimes against humanity. The villain has eluded capture thus far, but I tell you now, gentlefolk, the God Rangers have prioritized this case as soon as it was brought to our attention. We are actively working with Aegis and all other resources available to use to bring this monster to justice, to stand trial for the crimes that he has committed. But while the understanding of the crimes committed by another will allow you to understand the motives regarding Aiden's actions, we are here today to speak of Aiden's actions and whether by committing them, he caused irreparable damage to the community, or by taking the actions that he has taken, he saved many innocent lives.
So good.
Thank you.
After you've made that statement, you hear again in your mind, you know, I'd clap if it weren't kind of disrespectful.
Thanks.
So the trial proceeds. The prosecution, you've been kind of warned, hey, there's like mafia lawyers and they're using things that would not be readily available as evidence, but stuff that has still been committed to the record to basically damn Aiden. He stole a lot of money from various crime bosses, and they are eager to kind of get revenge for that. So the trial proceeds. So Alan, I would like for you, unless you have a better role, to roll a provoke someone.
I do have a better role.
You do?
One of the things that I was able to do when I leveled up was take an adult move, and that move is persuade with best interests. When you persuade someone with their best interests, roll plus superior. If they're an NPC, on a 10 plus, they buy it and act accordingly. On a 7 to 9, they need concrete assurance right now. Oh! I rolled an 8. My superior is a 2, so that is a 10.
Hell yes. So, the jury leave to come to their verdict. There's like a little bit of time of just waiting around. And again, Aiden, so, in your professional opinion, clearly having lawyered before, how well do you think that go?
Well, actually, you were my first case, but I think it went well.
Oh, good to know. I'm glad you volunteered for this.
Well, I've spent all of my time that I'm not being a superhero in preparing your case and studying law and making Ares mad at me and turning off the lights in the library when I stayed there too long.
Oh, you're going to make me blush. Put so much effort into it.
It is what is right, Aiden. You did what was right.
In my experience, being right doesn't always rub government the right way.
It doesn't, but this is beyond government. This is justice.
It's something like that. I'm not really that profound.
I'm usually profound enough for most people.
Really? Would never have guessed.
Some might even call me extra.
Duh, I wouldn't even dare.
I don't know where they get off on it, he says as he straightens his ascot tie.
The jury returns, and they deliver their verdict. The jury finds the defendant, Aiden Ballard, guilty, but we would plead for mercy. We all agree that while not acting in accordance with the law, he act in accordance with what is good and right. And the judge kind of takes at him for a moment. Then Aiden Ballard, you may rise. He takes the crutches back, awkwardly stands.
And I rise with him.
I deem that the punishment for you is to do what you have done thus far for the people of this city in a more organized manner. My initial thought is to bring you to Aegis. But given the influence that the God Rangers have had on this case, and if they are willing, I would allow them to take you in. Otherwise, you will be assigned a minder, and you will perform your works for Aegis until such a time as they deem your debt to society paid.
The God Rangers would be honored to take Aiden Ballard under wardship.
I think the scene ends with Aiden looking worried more than anything.
And Jace is trying to hide a smile.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Fifth Watch. I hope you're enjoying this latest episode. I'm just going to drop in here to give you the regular mid-episode break stuff and let you go back to the show. So, if you would like to find the Lost Library on Twitter, we are there at Lost Library Cast. You can send us an email via lostlibrary@fifthdraw.com. And if you feel like live tweeting the show or just talk about Fifth Watch in general, please use the hashtag FifthWatchLL. Helps me and the entire cast to see what everyone thinks about the episodes. As ever, our music is Save the World by Catbo. As has been for this month, I would love you to go and check out Soul Story, that this month's High Tide recommendation. Soul Story is an actual play podcast using the Through the Breach role-playing game set in the world of Malifaux. And if you've never heard of Malifaux, and I honestly don't blame you, it's kind of a niche setting. The cast have a bunch of primer episodes to give you all the information you would need to ground yourself in the story that they are telling. It's a fantastic setting and these guys are doing something amazing with it. You can find Soul Story wherever you get your podcast from or by looking them up on Twitter at Soul Story Pod. Finally, before we close out this mid-episode break, I would just like to let you guys know that there is a content warning on this episode, particularly for children in peril, death, and trauma. We're coming up to it. There'll be a timestamp in the episode description if you want to stop listening there and avoid it. I implore all of our listeners to stay safe. And with that, I will let you guys get back to the show. When you leave the courthouse to basically pick up Aiden from holding, it's raining. Just a light drizzle. You kind of walk around to the side, to the exit, and Aiden walks out in the clothes he was arrested in, which is his, in quotation marks, superhero outfit.
Right.
A black trench coat and the spray-painted crown design shirt. He's not wearing the mask because that would be frankly ridiculous. But when you find him walking out, he's walking out, arms outstretched and his face up to the sky, and he's just looking up.
Jace. So first of all, Jace didn't drive here. His mom drove him. Second, Jace is out there with like one of those big golf umbrellas. And he was like going up to Aiden to bring him under the umbrella. But then he just stops and gives space and lets Aiden have this moment of feeling freedom. Mm-hmm. And whenever Aiden's ready, Jace will be there.
It takes like a good 10 seconds as soon as you walk up just to bathe in this. I'm going to be straight with you. This is a bad idea.
You say that now, but I think once you get to know my family, it won't be that bad.
I mean, I've met some of your family.
Not all of them, though. In fact, you're about to meet my mom. And he, at this point, walks up and puts the umbrella over Aiden and, like, offers, because I guess he's still on his crutch.
No, when he came out, he presumably has a prosthetic.
Okay.
Oh, before we go, roots around in his bag of effects, pulls out like an old camera, like the kind you get a Polaroid out of. Mm-hmm. Do you want to be in this one?
Sure.
Holds it up.
And Jace does a peace sign.
It's just a thing I do. Takes out a Sharpie and writes on the photo that comes out, the date, and just the word freedom.
Come on. My mom's got the car waiting. We're not going directly to God Ranger HQ. We're going to go back to my house. My mom is insistent that she fix dinner. And that probably means we're going to have baklava for dessert. And then from there, probably let you spend the night at my place. And from there, we'll go to God Ranger HQ in the morning.
Are you cool to swim by my place? You know, pick some stuff up.
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
Yeah. So he follows you into the car. I'm curious about what you think your mom's reaction is. Like, pride at doing this incredible thing, but I wonder what she thinks about Aiden.
I don't know. Because on the one hand, like you said, I think she's proud of Jace. She understands that what Aiden did because it was good. But on the other hand,
yeah,
this is also the boy that Jace has come home and talked about because he was a bully.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I think she's more going to focus on you and she's going to perform like niceties.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys get in the car and your mom turns over to you and says, oh, Jace, I presume the trial went well then.
Yes. We won. Ish.
And I presume this is Aiden?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Aiden, this is my mom, Phoebe. Mama, this is Aiden.
They're, like, doing the awkward, Phoebe's, like, reaching over the back to, like, shake Aiden's hand as he's getting in.
And I'm sitting in the back with Aiden.
Yeah, pleasure. We might have met before, you probably don't remember me. And she quirks an eyebrow. Really, where? Bridgewall. And your mom pales and turns back to, like, focus on the steering wheel. So, back to us, then.
Actually, Mom, we're going to stop by his place first to pick up some of his things.
Oh, okay.
And Jace punches it into his phone, like, in Google Maps, and then hands it to his mom. And she puts it in, like, just a holder on the dash so that she can follow the map. Should Bridgewall mean something to Jace? Or is this something Mom hasn't talked about?
This is something that you've heard Mars mention. You heard it once in the hospital. In relation to Sterile, under his breath and unfavorably. Mm-hmm. Nothing more than it being, like, whispered.
So he's just going to tuck that away in his brain. Mm-hmm. So, Aiden, probably what's going to happen, I'd have to imagine, is that my Tias and Tio are going to figure out who is going to be your minder, and he puts that in heavy air quotes. I doubt it will be me, because, you know, I'm the youngest and still in school and stuff. But, I mean, it's probably going to be Tio Piathor. Probably. I could see him doing it. I promise he's not as scary as he seems.
Oh, no, I'm sure he's great. Yep. And in the ensuing awkward silence, Aiden just has this look on his face of like, yep, I told you, this is going to be a thing that happens. Like, he doesn't look particularly happy about it, but he looks vindicated.
Jace looks like he ponders for a second based on that look. You know, earlier we talked about justice, and you know, goodness being rewarded. I think sometimes the rewards for goodness can take many forms. Sometimes it's invisible. The old saying, if you're doing something good, people won't know you're doing anything at all. Sometimes goodness can be seen as aggressive or hostile, but it's still worth doing. And it's still worth the consequences of doing good.
Aiden nods and cracks a smile and says, I mean, for me, justice is getting some kids away from a sick fuck, so, you know.
And you did it. You saved those kids.
We did it.
True. Y'all saved them. And the jury saw that. So did the judge.
How are they doing, by the way?
They're doing very well. Tia Amatetheru is overseeing their relocation back to their homes. For those that we haven't found homes yet, their home is Olympus. And they play in the halls. Tia Hades loves it because they play in her garden. And so they can learn about all the flowers and help my Tia garden, which she always loves.
That's good.
We can visit. Well, you will see them. You'll be able to visit with them as much as you'd like.
Yeah, I like that.
So I definitely texted Iris and I was like, hey, we did well. Text your boy.
He like finally pulls his phone out and takes a look. Huh.
What?
Thanks again for looking after her.
You're welcome.
And he basically spends like the rest of the journey up texting between him and Iris.
And Jace lets the silence be there very comfortably.
Mm-hmm. When you do get to his apartment, do you follow him up or do you just let him go? And
would you like me to come with you or would you rather go alone?
Given what we talked about, you might want to hang about just in case, you know, I decide to split.
Jay smiles. I seriously doubt you would, but sure. And he winks. We'll be right back, Mom. And he gets out of the car first, opens the umbrella, and then goes around to Aiden's side so that when he gets out, he doesn't have to be wet.
Yeah. Even though he visibly enjoys the rain.
True.
You're in kind of a, not run down, but definitely a cheap apartment complex. And he kind of walks you through the stairs and like up the halls. He gets to his door, opens it up, and inside is like a very small, like very sparse apartment. Like there's not a lot of furnishings, but almost every surface of the walls is covered in those little Polaroids. So like as he walks in, he takes the new one and sticks it up somewhere on the wall. I'm going to have a shower first. So, you know, just entertain yourself.
Sure. And so Jace looks around at these pictures. You know, it's one of those things where I think Jace doesn't want to pry too much, but when your life is literally pasted on the walls.
Yeah.
it's kind of an invitation.
Yeah. Yeah, so the photos are all, they seem almost innocuous. Like sometimes they're pictures of Aiden just in places. You see Sky like several times. You see what you would guess Sky would look like if she was pretty young and Aiden pretty young. And there's a lot of photos of them like growing up. There's a large section of the pictures that are just like a wall of delinquency, drinking under bridges, like, you know, whatever crazy kids get up to. There's a few photos that maybe catch your eye of someone who looks familiar. It's maybe a year older, just a bit older than you. Ginger hair, like a lot of freckles, and he and Aiden seem to be in a lot of pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Some intimate. There's one picture of them. The ginger kid is dressed up as like a slutty angel and Aiden as a slutty devil. And there are iridescent white wings sprouting from the ginger kid's back.
Hmm.
I don't know what I would make you roll for, like, superhero knowledge.
Would it be a Pierce the Mask?
I think this whole situation is a Pierce the Mask.
Okay, so that is plus...
Pierce the Mask is plus mundane.
Okay. So that is an 8, and I have a 0 in mundane, so 8.
Okay. I think what I'll say is, like, you can ask one question generally about Aiden, or you could maybe know who this person is.
I kind of want to know who the person is.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Okay, so we've not really talked about it too much, but in Europe, superheroes are much more policed. There are set heroes that are allowed to do heroic work, and each country kind of has claimed them, because in this fantastical setting, England is still a part of the European Union, and I'm not mad about it. And yeah, you recognize this person as Paladin. As the name implies, there is a religious theme to his power set and branding, not quite branding.
Right.
You know that they rose to prominence about 2 years ago.
Is this person older than Aiden, or older than we are, or were they a teen?
Maybe a year or so older.
Okay.
1 year, 2 year. Pretty young, but, you know. And as you're kind of like looking through these photos, there are a few where there is a person next to Aiden who has been sharpied out. This person eventually leaves this wall of Aiden's life. You would guess it was Paladin.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of these. I think you've kind of had some time to look around.
Mm-hmm.
There's this black circle that opens up, and you see a pale hand reach through and start like fumbling around with boxes.
Can I get you something?
Nah, that's all right, I got it. You hear from like further into the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And like you just see clothes getting pulled out.
You're quite the photographer.
You kind of get that way, you know.
No, I don't. What do you mean?
Well, if you've forgotten a large part of your life, you don't want to do it again.
Oh.
And all of this is like being called through walls, so.
How old, if I could, like, if I'm following this backwards, what are the oldest pictures I can see, and about how old does Aiden look in those pictures?
Probably the ones that you saw with him and Sky, like maybe 10.
Again, Jace is going to file it, but I don't think he's going to call him out on it quite yet.
Mm-hmm. Some time passes. You hear like a shower go. You hear like an electric razor.
Mm-hmm.
You also hear him just like playing music.
Yeah, absolutely.
He eventually like steps out. He's got a black rolling suitcase. God, what a trash goth boy. He is wearing like black leather pants, boots, a black shirt, like a band shirt. He's cut the sleeves off. He's done like eyeliner and nails are black. And like his hair is, he's not spiked it up. He's just got it to the side.
So this may be a novel concept, but there's a thing called color.
All right. When you start wearing everything that's blue, I might introduce summon. Yeah?
I've got a dress code.
So do I.
Jace kind of shrugs and he looks at the pictures. Your story is very interesting, and I don't mean that in a rude way. I think it's fascinating that you have so much documentation.
I felt like if I had it in front of me, I wouldn't have it taken away. As a large portion of my life that has been removed.
Am I guessing before the age of 10?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
It was him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's how I can do all this bullshit. He, like, flails one of his arms and like, it cuts off in a black circle. And 6 feet to the right of him, the rest of his arm comes out and he pulls it back. Yeah. It's a whole thing.
I want you to know, Aiden, you can trust me. I'm not saying that you've done anything that shows me you don't, but I want to assure you, and Jace kind of turns and looks at Aiden, like, in the eyes. I want you to have a place that's safe, and that you feel believed and validated.
I'm surprised you trust me after the shit I pulled with your friends. I'm going to have to make that up to them, somehow.
But you did it for a reason.
People do evil shit for reasons. Just having a reason doesn't make it okay.
There's a difference between bad and good and right and wrong. Yeah, what you did was bad, but it was right. And my friends are rational. When we explain what happened, they'll listen.
I mean, I guess, well, I don't know if we'll find out. Oh, while I was in there, did you, like, kill Kronos yet? The evil one?
We have a plan. We called a council with the God Rangers. And we've made a plan.
I didn't miss it then.
No, but it's something I wanted to discuss with you.
All right. And he sighs and sits down on the floor.
Jay sits down with him, which looks funny in his full suit. He doesn't think twice. It's just like Aiden goes down, Jace goes down.
All right. I've shown this to two other people in my entire life. And I want to show you, because it shows you how serious I am, that I need to be a part of it. You've already got Iris in on it.
Yes.
Cool. Okay. And your vision goes dark for a moment, and then you feel a massive surge of adrenaline, and your eyes blink open. You're behind green glass, and there's shouting and alarm klaxons. You see, running around, picking up several files, you see Sterile, and he's kind of muttering to himself, and you hear a muffled explosion and the sound of the wall caving in.
I think Jace instinctively reaches up for his ascot, but obviously his body doesn't obey because this is a memory.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of grounds Jace in what I'm watching is in the past, and I cannot influence it.
Yeah, and that coursing of adrenaline I feel, instead of it being secondary, like, you feel it when you reach for the ascot and your arm doesn't move.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a weird sensation. And strangely, you see someone in Athena's armor, a feminine form, followed by the red form of Mars and the yellow form of Thor. And Sterile, like, snaps his head around to look at the God Rangers, and Mars is striding, almost running to get to him. And you hear Sterile, like, muffled. Okay, look, I know you're going to try and attack me, and that's a really bad idea, because otherwise these kids will, and Mars's fist connects with Sterile. And that moment slows, and you can see the edges of your vision, black tendrils snaking around, and then you see the scene from outside of this glass tube, and you see Sterile struck and fall. And another sound fills the scene, almost piercing through the klaxons. The sound of monitors flatlining. Your vantage to this falters and you collapse to the floor. Your left leg is removed below the knee. Then a blue figure, kind of hazy, you know it to be Athena, you know it to be your mother, runs over to you and tries to cradle you and tell you everything's going to be all right. The sound of flatlining fills your ears. The only other thing that you can hear above it is Sterile's voice. Project Arsene, designation Hermes. You need to run. If they catch you, you'll never be free. Go. The black tendrils fill the edges of your vision again, and you're outside. You go to run on a grassy hill, but stumble. And you look up and you can see the night sky. And as you crawl over the hill, you see a city with two twinkling piers. And the vision ends, and you are sitting back across from Aiden.
Jace doesn't say a word, and he pulls Aiden into an embrace.
He starts to resist, but then just kind of lets it happen. And you can hear, like, as he hugs you back, like, close to your ear. Yeah, we've laughed a few times. I'd like to say it gets easier, but...
How could it?
Yeah, it's a whole thing. People have had it worse than me, though. And that's what I focus on.
That does not invalidate your own experiences or your own feelings. You witnessed so many people die. And yet you still did what was right. Hey.
I mean, how could I do any different? What am I going to do? Let someone else go through what happened to me? Nah.
And Jace, like, puts his hands on Aiden's shoulders and kind of pulls away and looks him dead in the eyes. That's what makes a hero, Aiden. That is what makes a hero. And obviously Jace is crying. Like, Jace has been crying since the hug, but it's not a sobbing cry.
Still not into the whole branding of it, but... And, like, he's... You can definitely see, like, the emotion is there for him to cry, but he's practiced restraint. Like, it's very visible that he is doing something to hold it back.
Let go, Aiden. You're safe here. It's okay.
Maybe some other time.
It's not weakness.
And the look on his face is almost... He's never heard that before.
Showing your emotions is the ultimate sign of strength. It's not weakness. Our emotions are what make us human.
Okay, but you have to deal with the consequences, and I have to go and fix my eyeliner.
I think that's fair. And Jace pulls him in for another hug.
And I think we leave on that, with Aiden opening up and crying about this thing that has happened to him, and he's relived and never felt like he's been in a place to fully confront it. Dear Pod Jesus, blessed be thy waveforms. Thy export come. Thy editing finally be done.
Thy noise reduction.
The Lost Library is a production of the Fifth Draw family of podcasts and can be found at fifthdraw.com. You can email us at lostlibrary@fifthdraw.com or follow us on Twitter @LostLibraryCast.